When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Good morning, everybody, and happy Thursday. Today in the radio show, let's see, Jeffrey. Chris Harrington, straight up at 10 o'clock, I believe. He's going to be joining us from the Twin Cities, where it's, I'm sure, very balmy and lovely there up in the Twin Cities. Chris lives two lives now, here in Memphis and in the Twin Cities, and he is now in the Twin Cities. He's going to join us at 10 o'clock. Grizzlies play tonight. The hated Warriors, Jeffrey.
Oh, yeah.
Are we going to call them the hated Warriors?
Absolutely.
I think so.
They have Draymond Green, right?
They got Draymond Green.
I want to be very clear. I don't sports hate Draymond. I hate him as a person. I think he's a crappy person.
And then we've got Writer Than Right trivia. How is our champion, the 92.9 champion, feeling about things?
So Kevin was trying to get in my head yesterday.
Oh, really?
as we were leaving the show. He goes,
why?
Be a real shame if, you know, you lost the last one of the year and you'd have to stew on it for weeks.
Do we know how many times in 2024 you... Now, it doesn't count.
Because we're only worried about today.
You lost a couple times when I presided.
Correct.
Those are unofficial.
Well, because you work against me.
And I work against you.
Yes.
And those are unofficial.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
I think I lost two or three.
But that would be a shame if you were to drop the last...
Real shame.
Writer Than Right trivia.
We know who you're rooting for.
Of the year.
I miss the days when it was like we were giving away your book and...
and I'd be rooting
like you were rooting for me just so you wouldn't have to go to the post office.
Right. You know, one of the sweet moments, I was in New York this weekend visiting my kids. Ben has moved to New Jersey because it's cheaper. And by the way, I have this vision of Hoboken, right, as sort of, you think of it as sort of Springsteen area, right? Like
yeah.
It's gritty. It's mm-hmm. It's a little dumpy, right? It's
yeah.
a little dumpy. It's a little, I mean, it's... Of course, this is true. You just cross the river to New Jersey. It's gorgeous. It's gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
That's
where the land is.
And I'm not talking about like where the further into New Jersey where there's, you know, big houses and stuff. This is urban living.
Correct.
It's moneyed. It's gyms and coffee shops and high end retail and it's honestly the thing is it's just a little less frantic than New York. It's a little less frantic. Peter said he's gotten so accustomed to the rats in New York that he doesn't even blink. Like the other night he was just walking home and he said, and there was a rat walking next to him like it was his pet.
Mm-hmm.
Like I was taking my rat out for a walk.
He's probably waiting. He's probably waiting like, on
rat.
Are you going to feed me now? Like how does this work?
Anyway, but the sweet thing was I visited Ben's apartment. We were watching the start of the Bills game. At Ben's apartment in New Jersey.
I like how you have to say we were watching the start because at a certain point you're going to stop watching.
Yes, but I also had to at some point make my way to the mm-hmm. airport. That's the other reason. And that's when you texted me and I told you to stop texting me.
Correct.
Because Tyler Bass missed the field goal. And
you can see which way I had money on.
And I get a random Tyler Bass sucks text.
Well, I've been on this block.
I do too. Like I do not trust him at all. He's the kind of guy. He's the kind of guy that Ryan Silverfield would go for
to kick a field goal. But it's almost like just so you can blame him.
Right. No,
like,
no,
what do you want to say?
Right. Anyway, he had my book by his bedside table. And I don't think it was just, hey, Christmas is coming, I'm going to put this here. I'll be honest, I don't even recall giving him a copy of my book.
Well, he probably just
because
took
I don't like assume that it's
right, but he probably saw it at the house and
that's
took one.
Possible. But it's nice that it's kind of brought a little tear to my eye to think that because they've never expressed much interest in what I write any more than you express much interest in what your dad does on any given day. Like, do you? I don't know. Like they,
I mean, for a while I did because that was also.
Your line of work.
My profession.
His friends, like when I was up there, some of Ben's friends would ask me about my life and career and what's the coolest thing I've ever seen. My kids have never asked me that. Ever covered. My kids have never asked me that question. Anyway, it was still sweet. It's kind of sweet. Now, it's possible it was also just, you know, a prop. It's possible that it was a prop.
Had you bought his Christmas stuff yet?
I've gotten all their Christmas stuff. So, anyway, we're playing Rather Than Write Trivia, and... The fabulous prize, the last prize of 2024, which, don't blow it, people. I don't think anyone has played dishonorably. I don't think there has been a time. There have been a lot of times when y'all haven't won. Nearly all of them. But I don't think there is a time when we haven't actually given out the fabulous prize because we have always been able to discern that you have played honorably, and that has been our mission through this game, not just to entertain, but to reward and to boost the notion that you should live your life with honor and integrity.
Mm-hmm.
And so what is the fabulous last prize of 2024?
Jeff, yet again, you get to pick your choice between these two tickets. So you can go see Mary J. Blige, the For My Fans tour, with special guests Neo and Mario. That's on February the 2nd. Or the Creed tickets for July 27th, also at FedEx Forum. So you get to pick between those, and then you'll also get 901 Wrestling tickets to the very first show of 2025, the New Year's Bang, January 5th.
Our last contestant, Creed. Pick
yes.
Creed. Pick Creed. And so that is what we'll do that in the second hour. Chris Harrington will join us. Then we will play the last Rider Than Right trivia of 2024. How are you feeling? Generally, it's the 19th, we're less than a week from Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
We're kind of winding up the year, right? For us here, we have three more shows this year. I just am kind of ready for a break. That's honestly, if you want to know how I feel like I'm kind of ready, not just from just generally, just to home for the holidays. That's what I'm ready for. It does feel like, I don't know what this year, was this a great year? Was this a bad year? What was this year? You know what this year was? It was all the damn election stuff. That's what this, like, what defined this year, really?
Yeah, I mean,
the election
stuff. I feel
like
that's...
And then there's a lot been going on in Memphis. In terms of the sports year in Memphis, it's been...
Wasn't great.
Not great.
I mean, really,
it's
what?
Been okay.
Yeah.
Because... But, like, Memphis basketball didn't make the tournament.
Yep.
Things are looking better
and
now.
Collapsed.
We're going to get to
and
that.
And collapsed.
Collapsed and didn't make the tournament. Things are looking much better now, which we'll get to in a moment. But still, you wouldn't say this was a great year for Memphis basketball. It was more bad than good.
Yes.
Grizzlies.
They were awful.
Awful, ruined by injury. No one's fault, but we're just, what has been the reality? And much like the Memphis basketball team, they've righted it now. We got a thrilling game tonight at FedEx Forum. But you wouldn't say that 2024 was a good year for the Grizzlies.
No. I mean, the best case was you're like, God, I hope this is a gap year.
And then, so then the only team that you could actually, of the big three, the only team that you could actually argue was a good year, if you try to tell lots of people that, they will want to punch you. Like, so someone on Twitter just like, again, it's funny though. This is what's interesting, is people have to go to extremes. Connor, who was on the side of it was a good year, right? Even there, he has to go like, people can't try to tell me this was just a massive blunder, horrible season. I forgot. It was like that. No one is telling you that either. No one is saying that. They're just, the people who say it was disappointing, they're focusing on the fact that it was disappointing, which it was. The people who are focused on that it was good are focused on that it was good, which it was. It was both of those things. We fight about it. But that's the, of the teams that had of the three teams, the one that had the best 2024 had a very disappointing, in a macro level, had a disappointing 2024. And it's the one that if you say it was a good year, people want to fight you over it.
Correct.
This was not a good year, for generally speaking, for all for Memphis sports generally. Now, you look beyond that, we got Ole Miss, disappointing, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Disappointing. Arkansas. You know what the problem with Arkansas is? You just wonder if they'll ever be really relevant again.
Well, you wonder, are they punting?
And that too. But like, it feels like they have taken up a place in the SEC, in the bottom third of the SEC.
Which doesn't make sense to me, given how much money they have.
And the passion, the money,
yes.
All of that. So that, a freaking hideous year for Mississippi State.
Oh, God.
The only one who has had Tennessee has had a great year.
Absolutely.
If you are a Tennessee fan, you have had a legitimately great year.
Again, it is not likely, but it is on the table as we sit here on December the 19th that they could win three straight national championships in men's sports, baseball, football, and basketball. Again, highly unlikely, right. But it is on the table.
Right. All right, we're going to... We may talk more about this in the next segment. Jeffrey, we don't at the Daily Memphian do a sports person of the year, but ponder it. Don't come up with whatever. Just start pondering.
Okay.
Start pondering on it. In the meantime, tell you.
You would agree, though, this is a tough year.
It is a tough year. It is a tough year. That's why it's like I remember last year. The CA picked Fred Smith.
Mm-hmm.
Jeffrey picked it. You suggested to Giannotto that would be a great pick. And it was the obvious pick. That's a great pick. Because in a year when not much happened, I don't know what happened.
He saved our bacon.
Yeah, he stepped in to save the bacon. So, but anyway, come up with a local.
Okay.
Come up with some local candidates. All right. We got a massive Grizzlies game tonight. We'll talk about that with Chris Harrington and more in just a bit. But obviously the headliner last night was the Memphis Tigers going to Virginia and winning 64-62. And I would ask you this question, Jeffrey. Have you gotten to the point where when they go down in the first half and look like they're going to lose, it doesn't depress you because you know more is... In other words, because you more is coming? Because I have not. Like, even though... They have pretty consistently, not entirely. There have been times they haven't. But times they've been terrific from beginning to end. Against Clemson, they weren't. It wasn't a bad first half, great second half. But they do have a habit of not playing their best basketball in the first half. And so, a rational human being, when they go down in the first half by double digits, might say, that's what the Tigers do. A tortured human being, someone who lives in the world of PTSD as I do, both shaped by my youth, but then also by my experiences here in Memphis, I haven't stopped panicking when they go down. Like when they were down in the and I had other things I was doing last night, so I was kind of dipping in and dipping out.
The game was a little early.
But when I was went immediately to, oh hell, they're gonna blow the fact that they just beat Clemson and they're gonna lose to a lesser team. And I did go there. And I'm confessing, hand up, I'm confessing. And I'm wondering if there should be a moment, and maybe it was last night, which should tip the switch and get me to just totally believe in this team and believe that this team is going to find a way. Because that's what they did last night. They found a way. It wasn't three-point shooting. And a lot of us have wondered, okay, a lot of their success has been because they've been banging them in from better than 40% from three. What's they can't sustainable? What's going to happen if they can't do that? Well, what happened is they still found a way to win. So where were you emotionally in the first half when they went down? They're fine. They're going to win this. Or, oh, God, don't do this to me.
So for me, it's not necessarily a game script because it's, for instance, even though they were playing Arkansas State and as bad as that first half was, you could have talked yourself into, it's Arkansas State, the talent will prevail. I talked myself into, they're in trouble because they looked like they didn't care. They just looked like they were going through the motions. Last night, I did not feel that way. Like they were still, I thought they were still giving effort.
They were still 100%.
But they were effort. They were shooting dreadfully, and so what
they were 4 of 17.
Correct.
They were.
And they weren't. By the way, some of these misses weren't even close.
4 of 17 in the first half,
and so
4 field goals.
I found myself going, all right, let me pull up the stat broadcast, and I want to see if I can pinpoint exactly what happened. And the thing was, as dreadful as it looked, there was one number that stood out, and it was the turnovers and points off turnovers. And I was like, they've actually done a pretty decent job in the second half. When they come out sloppy, they do a pretty good job of cleaning it up in the second half. And I was like, Virginia, it wasn't. I would have felt much worse if I felt like Virginia was just on last night. And I did not feel that way. I was like, and then they kind of fought at the end of the half, you know, right. Like I think they got it to 5 and it ends up going back to 9. But I was like, they showed a little fight. I was like, I'm at least going to be entertained for the first 5 minutes before I sit there and go, okay, they're in real trouble.
Well, and then they come out and the exactly. President immediately, whatever. And it's not just their turnovers and the points off turnovers they give up. It's the other way as well.
Yep.
What you saw was in the first half, they forced 4 turnovers and that led to 3 points. In the second half, they forced 7 turnovers and it led to 10 points.
Yep.
Like, and in a game that's as low scoring as this one was.
I mean, that's a run.
Yeah, that is a blitz.
Yes.
That is a veritable blitz. They found a way once again. It was not the 3-point shooting. It was not shooting, honestly. They shot 37.5% from the field, 21 of 56. Hell, Colby Rogers, 3-point ace, 0 of 8. They are 5 of 23 overall for a nifty 21.7% from 3. And remind you, this is a team that beat UConn by shooting better than 40%. Beat Clemson by shooting better than 40% from 3. Beat Mizzou by shooting better than 40% from 3. All 3 of those games also scored north of 83 points. And so here, they find a way to win. John Martin wrote about that. Partha Padhyay wrote about it both at the Daily Memphian. PJ Haggerty, obviously immense, and immense particularly in the second half, where he scores 21 of his 27, does not leave the floor.
To be clear, also, 21 in a game that you scored 64.
21 in a game that you scored 64.
That's like Jordan going for 60 at the Garden.
That's true.
Like,
I'll say this. I really do. I've gotten to the point, knock on
Lucite or whatever.
Knock on Lucite. When he goes to the line, I think he's going to hit him.
I agree. It's funny, though. I did not feel the same way about Colby when he got to the line.
No, I think you're right.
But when you're right. When
P.J. Haggerty goes to the line, I've got great
There's height. Also something like that 3 that he hit when it was just into the shot clock. Like, they just didn't get a shot. And it's like he raises up from 30 feet. It's like that's not a good shot, but it was the available right. shot. And then he just drains. You're like.
And in those moments.
Good
yeah.
God.
Yeah, it's. I don't know. Is it the best backcourt in the country? It is a backcourt that has.
John can speak. I'm just. Everyone else.
Collectively, they're good. But when you have 3 who are good, PJ Haggerty wasn't at his scoring best against Clemson, was aces last night, right?
Yep.
Colby Rogers was great against Clemson, was not hitting last night. Like, if you got 3 of them, you don't actually, it turns out, need all 3 to be on all cylinders. Maybe in some of the highest octane games you will, but that's the other thing. If you've got 3 of them, you can.
It's kind of like Chris's point about the Grizzlies. If they have Ja, Jaren, and Dez on the floor, you don't need all 3 to be great, but you probably need 2 of them.
So you're 9-2 now, and of course the stat that was flying around you last night was you are the only team in the country with more than 5 quadrant 1 and quadrant 2 wins. Tigers have 7.
And they'll have a chance for 2 more.
And have a chance for 2 more.
And the year will be done.
Starting with Mississippi State Saturday. It's interesting, though, you brought up the points off turnovers, because both of those teams are in the top 5 in the country in not turning the ball over. I think one of the ways you can tell when this team is keyed in is whether they're taking care of the ball. In the ways that you can judge, are they taking this opponent seriously? Do they understand that they could get their ass beat, that every possession counts. A lot of
it's value in the basketball, just simply as that.
And you have seen it historically under Penny.
Yeah.
Like, when they need to take care of the ball and they understand they need, they tend to, right? They get sloppy. That's where I see it as much as anywhere else. Anyway, you got Mississippi State Saturday, and it does feel like this could be a pretty big crowd. Or again, I'm not going to tell you what to do with your Saturday, and it's an early tip, 11:30, I think.
It's the early CBS game. Yeah. Let me double check for you.
But people are home. Like, you talk about how students aren't there. That's true. But people are home. People
yes,
are home for the holidays.
11:30.
You may be done with work, for heaven's sakes, right? Get out there, and you can actually still have the rest of the day to celebrate. There's no question that attendance has been, well, it's down across the country, A. And then it's certainly down in Memphis. And that's true for Memphis football, and it's true for Memphis basketball. And we can tick off all the reasons. But what I think, beyond the sort of pandemic, people got out of the habit, sort of macro reasons, to me, the two biggest reasons are schedule. Who the hell are they playing? Right. And are they good? Like, are they a team that has generated excitement?
Yeah.
Like if you look at
does it feel like something you want to be a
right.
part of? Like, that's kind of what
and
kind
this
of...
this answers both of them. Like, this is a team that is good, that has created excitement, and you can't complain about this the quality of the competition here against Mississippi State or Ole Miss. Rivalry game, like everything you could possibly want. It's not like it would be better if it were Tennessee coming into town.
Sure.
Right? That'd be better. That'd be bigger.
If Cal was coming into town.
And it would be better if Cal was bigger and Cal was coming into town, right? And it would be bigger, certainly, if, whatever, Kentucky or something was coming into town, right? But there's not many schools that you could say would be bigger than this, particularly with the regional flavor that we're going to have. So I do think...
And I'm glad they're playing these games.
And honestly, it's ridiculous. Isn't it a shame that Memphis and Tennessee aren't playing?
Ego. It goes both ways.
People's egos get in the what? I mean, in this one, it's Tennessee. It's Tennessee. Now you can argue that.
Yeah, but you can
Penny's
argue
it's, caused it.
Yeah, I was going to say Penny's
Memphis
fired.
Does want to play this game.
100%.
It's Tennessee's snit that yep. they're not playing the game. And so here's the truth, and this is why it's crap to me that Rick Barnes puts his ego ahead of everything else. This is an incredible Tennessee team, right? It's
yes.
an incredible Tennessee team. And to have lost what they lost last year and be better than ever is, I think it's a disservice to your own fans in Memphis and in West Tennessee not to come play a game here. Like, wouldn't Tennessee fans here be enjoying this game? Of course they would.
I think so, but, like, I don't know. I've always gotten a sense that, like, it was different, like, when you had Bruce Pearl and they were trying to establish their basketball program. But Tennessee fans, I think, right now just say, well, our program's better. And
that's what they say, but would they enjoy the game?
Probably.
They would enjoy the game. I think Tennessee fans have no problem. Is that the last real sellout
in the building?
What might have been the last time Tennessee played here?
Yeah.
It could be. That's probably true, yeah. Oh, there's no question. Tennessee fans can justify not playing the game, and they can feel smug about not playing the game, and they can feel smug about where their program is and whatever else. And when they can say their program is better than Memphis's right now, historically not, but when you can say, is it better? It is.
Yeah.
It's better.
But, like, to your point,
it is better,
when Memphis made the return trip back to Knoxville, the building was full again.
Yeah, so you can 100% say we don't need to play, and you can feel correct in your – but the game itself, if you're a Tennessee fan who lives in, you know, Germantown or Whitehaven or anywhere, would you have enjoyed going down to FedEx Forum?
Heck yeah, you would.
If it were this Saturday, if we were Tennessee playing instead
of – I don't
have
to go 6 hours.
100%.
Yeah.
It's fun. It's fun, and it would be a – whatever, it'd be probably 60-40 atmosphere. You know, the building would be, I think, largely split. It would be more Memphis, but there'd be a lot of Tennessee fans. It would be a hell of an event. It'll be a good event Saturday. Mississippi State's, like, really good, but not close to what it would be if it were Tennessee.
Totally agree.
And so it's a freaking shame that it's not being played. It is. It's and it's petty and small. And I don't, it's not the only, it's also if you, I mean, listen, John was make the argument that Memphis shouldn't play Arkansas State in basketball. John was making that argument, right? Memphis shouldn't.
Yep.
And whatever, that's kind of, particularly after you just lost, that feels kind of reflexive and small too, right? But you're not, if you walked away from that game as Memphis, you're not depriving people of a game that anyone is actually wanting to see, you know, that everyone wants to see. Like, Memphis fans aren't going to be fired up for that game if it continues. Tennessee fans would be fired up for this game. It would matter.
Yeah.
It would matter. It is interesting. I didn't expect to hit on this topic, but given how good Tennessee is, and then you had the women here last night.
Yep.
And you had the women here last night. And by the way, nice showing for what has been a truly dreadful season.
Ooh, boy.
For the Memphis women's basketball team. They've just been putrid. The line was 33.5 last night.
Good teams win. Great teams cover.
And but Memphis has been without their best player. It must stink. Dede Hageman is the all-conference player from the Big Ten who transferred to Memphis. Do you think when you do these NIL deals, should there be a and will do what is required to be academically eligible in the first part of, like, because she has not been academically eligible until last night, and she made a huge difference last night because they hung in there. They were winning at one point. They lose 90-75.
Yeah, I mean, it was a single digit game in the fourth quarter. I suspect that Memphis was not surprised that she was academically ineligible.
That's partly why she ended up here.
That might be why she was available.
Anyway, shout out to the Memphis Tigers. Go down and support them Saturday. We have Chris Harrington straight up at 10 o'clock. We've got Write It and Write Trivia after that. And we have a whole lot of other things we do need to get to, which we will get to in a moment. Before then, I will tell you, if you are looking for a new financial institution, Leaders Credit Union would be the place to go. And I can say that because it's the place that we've gone. Claire moved to Memphis, goes and sets up an account right there at Leaders, walks into the Bartlett location, but they have one at Arlington as well. And of course, really all you need to do is download the app. Technology's great. People are great. Service is great. Rates are great. So if you're looking for a car loan, a home loan, or if you're just like sick of the way you've been nickel and dimed by your own financial institution, it's actually really easy to start fresh somewhere else. Leaders, they make it particularly easy. And as I said, they're invested in the community, and we couldn't be happier. To learn more, go to leaderscu.com/ESPN. Back in a moment, Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, it's James Kell from the Sleeper King Football Podcast. We all know sleepers can win you championships, but finding these guys takes time. That's where the Sleeper King comes in. Let me do all the research so you don't have to. Every week, I'm going to break down which sleepers you need to pick up off the waiver wire and which surprise deep sleepers could help you win the week. Every episode, just 15 to 20 minutes long, every Tuesday through Friday. Subscribe to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods.
All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show. I wrote a column today about the UPS store in Germantown. I never expected to be writing a column about the UPS store in Germantown. But there's this guy named Thurman Knighton who runs the store. And you know how everyone laments that customer service is dead, Jeffrey?
Mm-hmm.
It just is. It is an absolute. It's just nice to know that people like Thurman Knighton exist, and that stores like this exist. The guy is open from 8 to 6:30. Weekend hours are a little shorter, but 7 days a week. Three people do all the work in the store. They handle 900 packages Monday. They do weddings. They do weddings. Did you know you could get married in a UPS store?
I did not, but I guess it makes sense because they have notaries.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so they do weddings there. And when they do weddings, they like do it up. Someone will come in and they'll be surprised. Like they won't even tell him in advance. And he's got music he plays. He has a thing he says. He whatever. I was watching him with customers the other day, and he was saying, this woman, and she was Asian and whatever, and And all of a sudden, he started speaking Chinese to her. I'm like, what was that about, Thurman? Thurman grew up in Marion, Arkansas, and went to what was then Memphis State, where he met his wife, Connie, and he's not a guy who would you expect to be speaking Chinese. He said, oh, I've learned to say thank you and have a good day in about 15 different languages.
Respect.
So he Spanish, Romanian, Japanese, Romanian.
Romanian, there
Romanian.
You go.
Romanian.
Didn't have that one on the bingo card.
It's just it is a community. And as I wrote about that, and I, honestly, it was just a joy to write the column, particularly because the day before I'd written about the school board mess. So this was like, this is Memphis too. Like that part is Memphis too. But as I was writing it, I will tell you, I was thinking this. The only other place where I know, and I can't write about Oak Hall because I do spots for Oak Hall. But honestly, that's the other place I know in Memphis that is like the way it's supposed to be. I was explaining to Claire the other day or someone that I used to do spots on individuals at Oak Hall. And they'll do things like FaceTime you going through the clothes in your closet so you can determine what you should keep and what you like. It's who does that? It's like,
well, that person you always reference, does it bring you joy? What's her name?
I don't know. Yeah. Anyway, who does it? So the only, I have done my Christmas shopping, but I'm going to get to Oak Hall this weekend to do a little more. And also because it brings joy to my heart walking into that place, particularly at Christmas. And if you get something, you can't buy something at the UPS store. You can't buy a gift there necessarily. You can ship a gift. Better get there fast.
Who needs boxes?
I think they actually drop the guarantee. Like UPS has a guarantee by Christmas. And I think today's the day they drop the guarantee. But anything you, I swear this is true. You get something from someone from Oak Hall, they will love it. And they will love it the day they open it, and they will love it throughout the entire season. Or if you're looking for one extra thing to get, go get a gift card. And then they will have the experience of shopping at Oak Hall. There's not that many places left, it doesn't feel like, where it's the way it's supposed to be. Service is the way it's supposed to be. Deeply experienced people who care deeply about your happiness and will go to any great lengths to make... And Oak Hall is that place. But so is the UPS store. Who knew? Who knew the UPS store? All right, Jeffrey, a couple things. Did get a text while we were on break saying, and this goes to my point of the Tennessee men should play here. The point was, Vol fans were certainly out last night in force.
Heck yeah.
At FedEx Farm. It was overwhelmingly Vol fans. Why? Because you have a chance to see your team without driving 5.5, 6 hours.
Yep.
Right? And... So yes, that point remains. Grizz tonight playing the Warriors in, I don't know, was any game, it's not a massive game, but in terms of, well, I'll ask two questions. What's the best ticket? What's the hottest ticket? What opponent could be coming in to FedEx Forum that is, let's be honest, it's the Lakers and the Warriors, right?
Yes.
It's the Lakers and the Warriors.
So I don't even think the Knicks register the same way. And even Boston doesn't.
And which is it? Is it Lakers?
For me, it's the Warriors just because it's the Warriors.
To me, it's the Warriors.
Yes. I think it's the biggest rival.
Actually, I think Steph is, LeBron is still fun when he goes like a freight train and you're aware.
We all know how great LeBron is, but it's also a different experience when you see him in person because you're just like, my God, like he is just.
But I really have. Command. I do have more vitriol worked up about the Warriors. And the last time the Grizzlies played the Warriors, it was the Cup game when Draymond Green was calling them soft.
And did we ever get to the bottom? Is Draymond soft since of the unquestionable call? Unconscionable calls. Beg your pardon.
It's and so it's fresh off of that. Now they are not. You know they got off to a blazing start. To the year, they are 2-8 in their last 10. They are now 14-11. They are tied with the Suns and the T-Wolves for 6-7-8. All three teams are 14-11. Grizzlies injury report is Jaws questionable with low back soreness. Marcus Smart is doubtful with shoulder soreness. And then out, Vince, Yuki, Gigi, Jayhoff with an ankle sprain, and Colin Castleton. That's the Grizzlies injury report. I would commend you to read Drew Hill's story in the Daily Memphian today. I felt a little bad about this. I retweeted it, and it was clickbait. But the way I retweeted it was clickbait. Because the retweet says, Desmond Bane wants a new home. Story from our dogged reporter, Drew Hill. Desmond Bane is a chihuahua, a rescue chihuahua. Drew Hill found these folks, Blues City Animal Rescue. There were seven chihuahua puppies. Seven chihuahua puppies were rescued, and they needed to find homes for them. Now, you would think, actually, in terms of placing a dog, a chihuahua puppy as opposed to a... And again, we have a pit bull at home because Claire has a pit bull. Pit bulls are lovely. But a four-year-old pit bull, harder to place than a chihuahua puppy.
Significantly, yes.
Wouldn't you say?
100%.
I would say you'd be able to play... But anyway, so in order to really amplify their cuteness and adoptability, they were named after grizzlies. And so Desmond Bane was one. Yuki was one.
Smart.
Zach Edey. Yeah, you got to name one Yuki, right? Zach Edey would be one. And they're freaking adorable. And Drew got Desmond Bane to comment on Desmond Bane, the chihuahua.
Just damn fine reporting.
Really dogged reporting.
Yes.
From Drew Hill. But I did retweet it with a sentence, Desmond Bane needs a new home. And I felt a little cheap doing that, but really charming story. The other Grizzlies related story, Jeffrey, is this is NBA value franchise values. Did you see this story?
I'm not really out.
Okay. Yeah, well don't look. Okay?
Yep.
Do not look. What do you think the most valuable team? This is according to Sportico.
Okay.
Annual assessment, Sportico. What is the most valuable team? In fact, honestly, if you could just get them in the top five, that'd be impressive. If you can get them on order, it would be ridiculous. So what's the most valuable team?
The Warriors.
How did you know that? Why isn't it? And by the way, why isn't it the Lakers? It is the Warriors.
Don't know if the Lakers own the Staples Center.
It could be it. It's the building.
Yeah.
Warriors are worth $9.14 billion. Okay. So far, this is a little warm-up for Right of the Right Trivia, which we'll be playing in the second hour. Who's two?
Is it Knicks two?
Well, what is wrong with you? Get everything right.
Because they
this
own
is,
the,
this you, is, gotta, you, Dolan, are, you are righter
Dolan,
than right.
Dolan owns the building.
Knicks, $8.3 billion. Warriors, 1. Knicks, 2. The Cowboys, by the way, are the most valuable franchise
no
in
way.
U.S. sports at $10.3 billion, and the Warriors are right behind. Warriors are number 2. Warriors, Knicks. Okay, you want to tell me who 3 is?
Boston.
No.
Is that Lakers?
That's Lakers.
Okay.
Yeah. Then, here, I'll just give you the rest.
All right.
I'll give you the rest. Brooklyn is 4th. Five.
Really?
Mm-hmm. 5.
They own the building,
billion.
Yeah.
A rise of 43%. Barclays Center, the world's highest grossing arena as of April. That's why. It's building.
There you
That's
go.
Total building. It's not because the Nets. It's not because of Zaire. Let's
no.
just say that. Okay. And then the Clippers, 5.68.
Yeah, they own the
new building.
Building.
The for-sale Boston Celtics, $5.66 billion. The Chicago Bulls, $5.56 billion. The Miami Heat, $5 billion. The Houston Rockets, $4.77 billion. And the Toronto Raptors, $4.66 billion.
Is that Canadian or U.S.?
I don't know. Among the top 10 franchises, only the Lakers and Celtics don't control their venues. Now, I don't have the complete list, but I do have the bottom three. Tell me the bottom three.
New Orleans?
Three least valuable, not in order first, and then I'll ask them in order. So what do you think the most, what do you think the least valuable are? You put New Orleans in there.
New Orleans, Memphis. I'll say New Orleans, Memphis, OKC.
New Orleans, Memphis, and Minnesota.
Minnesota.
I don't know the status of their building. But here's the amazing thing. I don't want to depress you. Minnesota, $3.29 billion. The New Orleans Pelicans, $3.09 billion. And last, the least valuable team in the NBA, the Memphis Grizzlies, $3.06 billion. Close to the Pelicans. But there you go. So tonight, this is really a David and Goliath, really, Jeffrey. This is a David and Goliath deal. You've got the most valuable franchise in the NBA
yes.
playing the least valuable franchise in the NBA. Now, I am not weeping for Robert Parra and the other Grizzlies owners who bought it for dramatically less than $3.06 billion, but I do think it underlines...
Well, also, when did he have to do the buyout?
They had to do the buyout. So, yes.
But no, I think it was like one, I think it was valued at like $1.2 billion then.
And he didn't have to buy the whole team.
Right, but he had to buy,
but yes, he had to buy a portion of the team that he didn't own already. He had to buy, yes. So, I don't actually know. If you look back at what he paid for it when he bought it from Heisley.
Oh, I'm simply saying this. Since the moment he had to buy them out, the value of the franchise has tripled, if that's correct. Because it was like, it's at least double plus.
That's probably right. And from the moment he bought it,
correct.
Back
there's
when,
God knows how much it's been since then.
Having said that, I'm not going to call Robert Parra the Memphis Sportsman of the Year because, hell, he could up and move the team tomorrow. Like, whatever.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and I don't want to jinx it. I don't want to put egg in my face, whatever else. I do think that this is just a reminder that... It's a damn good thing to have an incredibly wealthy owner. And it's a damn good thing that Robert Parra doesn't seem to be motivated, or at least most motivated, by the desire to dramatically increase the value of his franchise.
Or just to move it somewhere. Like, even if it's
because
like,
that would dramatically, that's what I'm saying.
Like
if you picked it up and moved it anywhere. Anywhere, you'd get a new deal that would be incredibly lucrative. But if you picked up this team and could move it to some hot city, whatever, pick it. Hell, down the road to Nashville, right? They would go from being worth, again, depending on the building, whatever else, they'd be going from worth $3 billion to worth $5, $6 billion. Like, you could double easy.
I wonder if I don't think Nashville does that. Because in the end, Nashville would have to build them a new arena.
I'm not saying it's a building.
Yeah.
It would be contingent on the building.
But
it's
yes,
an interesting question, because when people are scared and they're talking about what, and again, I'm a little nervous about it myself now, but when they talk about where could it go? The problem, one of the nice things is it feels like Seattle is going to be an expansion franchise, right? It feels like Seattle.
There's still a legitimate problem. The NBA has stated they do not want to be the second tenant in a building.
Right.
And so
But a lot of the places, to the extent
Vegas
that they have
definitely,
Vegas, whatever. And I think, oh, thank God for expansion, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that's going to be an expansion because no one wants to give up the other owners don't want to give up the expansion fee.
Right.
So one of the things that people do kick around is, oh, God, wouldn't it be a kick in the old, can I say balls?
Yes.
Wouldn't it be a kick in the balls if they up and went down the road to Nashville?
Yeah.
And it would be. And I've heard, like, the NBA would rather, whatever. Like, you hear stuff, right, whatever. Here's how I comfort myself on that. First of all, they're going to get a Major League Baseball team. Like, that's happening.
Seems
right?
likely.
Seems likely, like, they're going to get a Major League Baseball team. Would the state be treacherous enough to pitch in for a new building in Nashville to move a team from Memphis? Like, you could see, like, from the league perspective, they could say, oh, it's still in Tennessee, whatever, right?
Yep.
You know what I mean? But the state couldn't possibly
seems unlikely.
Their second biggest city.
Like, I know we love to
by
do
putting
the
shiv in the and by supporting building a public money to moving them.
I find it highly unlikely, especially if your prediction about them getting a baseball stadium is correct too. I mean, are they? Because they're going to have to build a new arena.
They would have to, yes, because the Predators control
the Predators control a Bridgestone.
I mean, let's be honest. One of the reasons the Grizzlies moved from Vancouver, partly because the Canadian dollar,
yep,
right, and partly because they didn't have control of the building.
Yes,
the Canucks owned the building. Canucks got all the financial stream. It's those two things were the biggest things. It wasn't that they stunk. That one didn't help, but. It was the other stuff. But my point is, Memphis has the Grizzlies have an unbelievably great owner. Here's what he does. He hires good people. In fact, I think you can make an argument for Zach Kleiman as Memphis Sports Person of the Year. Guy's been great. He's been great. But anyway, he hires really.
I don't want to give the Grizzlies press clippings yet.
Right, but he hires them. He hires great people. And he leaves them alone.
Yeah.
And he has never when he could have used the escape clause in the lease to get the hell out of here, he has. And he doesn't, like, they don't try to bully the University of Memphis, which they could have. They could have painted Memphis as they could have gotten in a war of words. University of Memphis did. University of Memphis went low when the Grizzlies were trying to stay out of it.
Yep.
And did they start opening fire and saying, you want to, you know, no.
No, I actually would argue the Grizzlies
to their own disservice, maybe.
Yeah. And I would also argue, I think the Grizzlies acted in the best interest of the city of Memphis, whereas the University of Memphis did not. They acted in the best interest of the university.
And it worked out because the money Smith stepped up. And I don't blame them for acting. They'd scrapping for every penny, but they comported themselves very differently. I think you got to thank your damn lucky stars that they're owned by. And like the gripe used to be, oh, he doesn't. Who the hell cares? Does Woody Johnson, I guess, go to games? Did you read the news story in The Athletic about Woody Johnson?
And Madden rating on Jerry Jeudy.
The Madden rating stuff. I take it honestly with a grain of salt. The stories are so ridiculous that. Well, and it is interesting. Like, people have just opened fire. People who used to be in the organization have opened fire on the organization.
This is why the Jets are the best.
It's just, like, whatever. It's probably Robert Saleh, right, is one of the people who's being
Joe Douglas.
Anonymously Joe Douglas.
Joe apparently was on the practice field, and Woody's helicopter flew in, and he's like, maybe whoever he was talking to, he goes, I'm pretty sure he's coming to fire me. Just so you know, it's been an honor working with you. Like, he did like the Titanic scene.
Yeah, one of the stories is that they were on the verge of trading for Jerry Jeudy. I don't think this two off seasons ago, maybe.
That sounds right.
I think it was.
No.
Was it this offseason?
Yeah.
When was he dealt to the Browns?
I thought it was this year.
But they didn't trade for him because his Madden ranking was too low. And evidently, at least according to this report, the people who particularly pay attention to these things and
yeah,
are always
it was last off scene.
Brick and Jack, who are Woody's twin sons, who are teenagers, they're making a lot of decisions for the franchise, evidently, at least according to this report. The report actually makes Aaron Rodgers look sort of rational here. Um, but but also just like these cringy. So they get on Halloween night, they get their first win since Saleh's firing 4 weeks earlier. Okay. And they're about to give, the players are going to give the game ball to Ulbricht, the new interim,
yeah.
Right, the interim. And Rodgers walks into a locker room. The locker room's fired up with a game ball in his hand, and he's about to give it to Ulbricht. But before he could speak, Brick Johnson, one of these teenagers, took another game ball and awarded it to wide receiver Garrett Wilson with a profanity-laced exclamation, which the Sun later posted to Instagram. Multiple players said the energy felt drained out of the room. It was the most awkward, cringeworthy, brutal experience. This just awful stuff. Just cringe stuff. Like that's not as bad as making a bad trade.
Twins. I looked it up.
They're not twins.
Yeah.
Sons. They're sons.
So in 2017 they were 11-9, so that would mean years later. So they're 18-16.
Anyway, so
I don't know if you're
thank
in this
your
guy.
Lucky star. The Grizzlies have the ownership they have.
Woody Johnson's stories to me are a lot like Urban Meyer stories, where just about anything I'll believe and I'll read them. Because he seems very dumb, and he also seems to be like
he wanted to be called Mr. Ambassador.
Yes,
Mr. Ambassador.
Yes, that was one of my favorites.
When he flies back from he's ambassador to Great Britain, and he comes back and he's visiting his team and whatever. And the word goes out that you have to refer to him
correct.
As Mr. Ambassador.
Yes. And apparently, like, the reason why they fired him after Saul after the London game is he was embarrassed because he had like his English friends.
Hey, if you want to make someone super happy this holiday season, get yourself to Robert Irwin Jewelers, where they are passionate about diamonds. Passionate about diamonds. And this is true. I don't know how many people who might be getting engaged at Christmas haven't started the process of buying their engagement ring, but maybe New Year's, whatever, or maybe in the new year or whatever. Listen, this is just true. You walk in there with an idea, or you walk in there with a photo, or you walk in there with your sweetheart, and they will walk you through this incredibly emotional experience because they just love diamonds. They just love diamonds. They love creating happiness. They love creating stunning diamond rings. And it's what Connor did. It's what Jeffrey did. And only blisses ensued, guaranteed. Okay, that's not the guarantee. The meant-to-be guarantee is if you buy your made-to-order custom beautiful crafted engagement ring from Robert Irwin Jewelers, the meant to be guarantee 365 days to return it. You won't return it because it'll be beloved, but it's nice to know. That's how confident they are. They've been here for nearly five decades now. And so whatever you're shopping for, earrings, bracelets, diamond ring, whatever, head on to Robert Irwin Jewelers. I go to the one right across from Novel on Perkins Extended. Nice little place to shop in that little area. Go to Novel, pop over to Robert Irwin Jewelers, and make someone super happy. But you can find the one closest to you. Check them out online at rijewelers.com. When we return, Chris Harrington joins the show. Then we'll play Righter Than Right trivia. It is the Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.